Good afternoon. Praise the King. It's good to have you give thanks to the God of heaven. We love giving thanks to the God of heaven. Praise the Lord. Isn't it amazing how many people, once they get healed, they want to get all their friends healed and everybody else. I was just thinking about Jack. You know, he came up here a few weeks ago or a few months ago, whatever. And he'd had a back problem for a long time. And Rosemary had dealt with him some and everything, and she couldn't seem to help him. So she said, I know this woman of faith, Rosemary the woman of faith. She says, I know where you can get healed. And so she sent him down here. And he came down here and he got healed. Amen. We prayed for him, and before he got out of the church, he was healed. And he's been healed ever since. And so now then he's bringing his friends in and everything else, you know, trying to get them healed. Because we don't want nobody to be sick and in pain, do we, Jack? No, I mean, we just don't realize what brings it. We don't understand the lack of faith that it takes to get there. And so when you come and see God move, just like Jack, and of course I will have to say God was really gracious to us also. I didn't know him. I'd never seen him before because the first time he came. But after he got healed and then he found out we were building a building, he allowed us to use his beautiful piece of equipment called a SkyTrack. And it's been a blessing. I mean, a blessing. We've been able to put up all those trusses and all that stuff with that big, powerful machine. It's really great. Amazing what God has done. So the building, for all of you that would be interested in knowing, all the steel is up. The structure is up. So we're going to start putting the skin on it this week. I'm supposed to get it Monday. And hopefully by next Friday, of course, Saturday is the last healing school that we'll have here. Next Saturday is the very last healing school in Dallas, you know, at this location. We will have them from this day forth out there in our new building. And I am grateful to the King that we're going to have our own building, and it'll be ours and everything, and it's just going to be wonderful to be out there. And I mean, I've been so wanting to do that for a long time, but the way the Lord worked it out, I had to. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you'll procrastinate about things. But, you know, the last time I don't understand a lot about God. I'm sure you don't either. But that's a kind of an understatement, isn't it? You know, I mean, I've had great dreams to build the building and have plenty of time to do it and everything else. And so several months ago, went out there, staked it all, put the stakes down, squared them all up, and was fixing to get the level out. And I looked and I said, Lord, this is going to be great to have our own building. And he says, wait. I said, wait? Lord, I don't want to wait. You know, but since he said wait, I did. And then I thought, you know, why did he do it like this? Here he brought me down to 2 months and give me 2 months to get a building built. You know, and I thought, you know, he's just like one of my CEOs that I used to work for. They'd do me the same way, you know. They'd wait till just 2 or 3 months, and then some airline would come in and say, well, we got this much business we want to give you. And they said, well, are you prepared? And they said, well, to take on this much more business, we'd need this many more coolers or freezers or this much added onto our building or whatever. Well, when do you want to start the account? Well, in 90 days. No problem. We get this guy Thurman. We can throw this on him. He can get that building built in 90 days. No problem. We'll be ready. And then the CEO would call me, or the VP would call me and say, Thurman, got a little chore for you. Go up to Kansas City and see what they need. You got 90 days to get them a building added on to, and the coolers and freezers. 90 days. Many a time. Sometimes it's less. One time down here at American, they wanted to take on a whole bunch of extra business, and they come to me and said, we need all these extra rooms built and cages and everything else to take on all this additional business from American. I said, wow, that'll take a couple of months to do this. I said, how much time do we have? They said, from today, 30 days. I said, 30 days? They said, yeah. So guess what? In 30 days, we had it done. We had it up and running. Yeah, I guess I just kept on producing for them like that, so they knew, you know, that I was attached to the King of the universe. And when I asked him for something, he always showed me how to do it. And so it's wonderful. The server God that'll show you how to do things. Anybody have a testimony today? Anybody got a testimony? We got one. John, praise the Lord. Praise the King.
I woke up. Is that on?
I hope so. Phil,
can y'all hear me?
Yeah, there we go.
Okay. I woke up a couple of hours ago and I forgot to set my clock, and it was 1. And I felt like a steamroller had gone over me, and I knew it was a demonic attack. And so I got up and took a shower, and I got out a hymnal and feebly tried to worship the Lord and pray and get these demons off me. And boy, I felt like my arms weighed 500 pounds each. And I called Rosemary, and I said, "Where are you at?" Because I was going to ask if she was driving or could pray for me. And she said, "Well, I'm here at the church." She said, "You don't sound good." And I said, "I don't feel good, and I'm under a demonic attack." And she said, "Well, here, I'll give the phone to Thurman." So I got on the phone with Thurman. He prayed for me. And it's, I made the choice. I'm coming. Because they've been beating on me for a few days, and I'm just tired, but I'm here. And just another battle, one for the kingdom. Praise God.
Amen. Praise the King. Hang in there. Amen. You're in a battle every day of your life. You need to learn that, but you need to learn who you are and what you can do in the name of Jesus. Your enemy has no power over you. Do we have any other testimonies? Any other? Miss Kim, praise the King. Praise the King, girl.
Amen. Woo. One of my clients, Miss Mitchell, she's a pastor's wife, and two of her sons are ministers in the church, and he's been ministering for years, and she's my client. So she shared with me how she went to the doctor, and they said her breast was bleeding from within. So they took x-rays and everything. So I gave her some DVDs, miraculous testimonies. And then I was just sharing with her, do you have any unforgiveness? And, just talking, just planting the seed so she could go home and ask the Holy Spirit. So she called me yesterday, but she couldn't get through. And for some reason, I just said, let me call Miss Mitchell to see how she's doing. So I called Miss Mitchell, and she was so excited. So she told me, she said, "Kim, I went to the doctor, and they didn't find anything." So we were screaming in the car. I was like, yay!
Praise the
King. And then she said the doctor told her, but she still have the lump there. And they could, take in a surgery to remove the lump. And then her husband was like, "Well, if I was you, I wouldn't let them cut me." And he said, "Well, it's up to you." So she was like, "Kim, I just know God healed me." So I was like, "Miss Mitchell, if God could remove cancer cells, don't you think he could remove a lump?"
Amen.
So she was like, "Yeah." So we agreed. Matthew 18:19. Oh, I got it right.
Amen.
And we agreed. And I prayed for her, so I'm just waiting for the praise report.
Amen. Praise the Lord, girl. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Anybody else before we go to the Word? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, we've had a...
Let me push the mic up.
Huh?
Okay. I'm happy.
Yeah, we've had a great week this week for those of you that... are not up to date. We really have had a good week, and I'm so grateful for many things. All the food that's been brought out, men and women have brought food out, and we've had plenty to eat. And then, of course, God has provided help, lots of good help. We've had lots of men come out and help. It's really been great, to see God move so wonderfully. And to see all the hard work that's taken place out there in such a short period of time. And to think that, just 4 weeks ago we had bare ground out there. And today we have all the slab poured, the plumbing all in, the frame, structural steel all up and everything. And hopefully by next Friday, unless something happens, I'm looking to the Lord to give us a great week this week with very little wind and everything else, so we can handle those big sheets of metal and everything else. And I am trusting Him that He will do that for us, and I'm believing that by next Saturday, when we come in for the healing school Saturday, that we will have almost, if not a completely closed-in building. That would be wonderful, wouldn't it? That would be wonderful. Then we're in the dry, and then we move in to start doing other things, you know, but it's really coming along fantastically well. So we only got 1 month left, you know, here. This month of November, it'll go by before you know it. And we're grateful, you know, that Fred has allowed all this for us to use this place. It's been really good. I've seen the Lord, as some of you have seen God, do some great and wonderful miracles of healing in this place. So I'm going to believe. I might share with you that I had no idea years ago when a single woman that had cancer or had some other problems. I don't even remember all the issues. But there was a single woman that was in charge of a large ministry. Called me years ago. I don't even know how I got in touch with her. I don't even remember. But anyway, she wanted me to come to her city. And I don't even remember. She's over in North Carolina. She wanted me to come over there and pray for her. So I got on an airplane and flew over there. You know, it only takes a dummy to do those kind of things. You know that? To go out and buy an airplane ticket to go fly for some woman you don't even know. But I've done that a lot of times, men and women. And I went over and prayed for this woman. And I guess I must have changed her life. I don't know. Or the Lord did. But anyway, somehow another lady has got on her board. She's in charge of a very, very powerful ministry. So anyway, this last week, she contacted us and said there was a lady on her board that was 98 years old that wanted to meet with me. And she's driving from North Carolina here. And I have a meeting with this woman Monday night at 8 o'clock. And this woman walked into a mental hospital a few years ago and cleaned it out. And everybody in the mental hospital walked out totally healed. Everybody. This woman was trained by Smith Wigglesworth. And I have been blessed to have the privilege to meet with this dear saint Monday. And the question was asked, can others be there? And she said, no. They cannot be there. It'll be a private meeting, just me and Cheryl. We will be there. And said, well, how long do you want to meet with us? And she said, I don't know. 1 hour, 5 hours, I don't know. It all up to God. So I have no idea what God is going to do. It all happened because I agreed to go pray for a woman that I didn't know a few years ago over North Carolina that had a problem. And now then this 98-year-old woman is on her board. And so they got to talking. And so she's coming over here. I couldn't believe she's having a friend in her. They're driving from North Carolina to Dallas this weekend right now. They're on the road. And I'm going to get to meet with this lovely saint. And I have never met or held a hand or touched a human being that has walked into a mental institution and cleaned it out. But this woman has, in the name of Jesus. Wow. What a privilege, huh? What a privilege. So, in her life, this woman, since she met Smith Wigglesworth and he trained her, she has also raised 90 people from the dead. So she's not a normal saint. This is the kind of people I love to talk with. I love to talk with and meet with people. Maybe you all pray for me that some, if not all, of her anointing will rub off on me. Is that what we want? You want some of it to rub off on you too, right, Keith? Everybody wants to be touched by God like that, right?
Amen.
Wow. I don't know for sure what she's done, but I'm sure that we will find out. Woo, I think, what a privilege. You know, you have no idea, you know, what God's going
to
do.
Will she allow you to tape it?
No. We ask that too. Absolutely not. It is going to be a very, we asked that, you know, we wanted to tape it. We wanted to have it. No, she said no, absolutely not. So Cheryl takes 135 words a minute shorthand. So she's going to be there with her notepad taking great notes, you know, so I'm looking forward to Monday night. You know, of course, I'm looking forward to Monday. I got a great day lined up Monday, but the first two things are the things I've got to do during the day, which is to go to Paradise and pick up steel, you know, for some stuff, and then go to Denton that afternoon and pick up the rest of the steel for the building. That's minor. I'm looking forward to this meeting Monday night with this dear saint of God. That's what I'm looking forward to. I've never, very rarely ever had the privilege to meet with someone that just walked in the power of God at all. They're almost non-existent. But to get to meet with one that cleaned out a mental institution, wow, can you imagine that? You know, I just, that's where I want to walk. You know, that's where I want to walk, you know. The closest thing I can say that I've ever done to that in the name of Jesus was when Caitlin was in the hospital in the Cook's Medical Center in Fort Worth when I saw those 9 children in 30 days. I got to see 9 children miraculously healed. That was a pretty awesome event in my life. You know, just pretty awesome. You know, so, wow. But I know that's just, all these things have just been a barely touching the hem of His garment. Now, you know, when I was down at Children's in Dallas here not too long ago, went down there to pray for somebody. And while I was there that morning, I walked in, and as I walked down the corridor, I saw all these little children in wheelchairs and things that had no arms, no legs. I saw one little boy sitting there that had no legs from about right here and no arms from about halfway down. And I said, what happened to this boy? Was he in an accident? They said, no, he was born like that. So I backed off and I thought, with tears in my eyes, I thought, Lord, what sin does to us. If people only knew what caused these kind of things, well, you would think they wouldn't do them, wouldn't you? But they don't know. They don't know. I mean, the average Christian today does not believe that sin brings forth this kind of results. But I don't know how you missed it. I mean, this morning, last night as well as this morning, when I was sitting there in my office reading and studying the Word, I'd study, go over a chapter or two, and then I'd back off and just hold my hands up. I said, Lord, how do we miss this sin and death deal? How do we miss the sin and sickness situation? How do we miss this? It's everywhere I read in Your Word. How do I miss that? So I thought, wow, our eyes must really be blinded. But anyway, we've been talking about law and faith, or law versus freedom. And so many people are just like I was. I didn't understand these principles. So I'm going to start out today with a principle to show you our freedom, but I'm going to show you how easy it is to fall from that freedom. And what so many people believe today is we're under grace, so you have a license to do anything you want to do. But the Scriptures does not teach that at all. It does say we're free, but I want to go to Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. That's where we're going to start. Galatians 5, 1 through 6, then we'll go over to the book of John and into the book of Romans. So in the NLT here, Galatians 5, 1 and 2 says, so Christ has really set us free. Now what does that mean? If He set us free, has He really set us free? He really has. So Christ has really set us free. Now make sure that you stay free. Now if this is the case, if Paul is telling the Galatians, now make sure that you stay free, you must be able to lose that freedom, right? Obviously, he's telling us this. Somebody said, well, gee, I'm set free in Christ, so I'm going to be that way forever. You may not. You can get back into bondage. It's real easy. So he's telling you there, so Christ has really set us free. Now, how many of us did he set free? All of us. The whole world. But most of us don't know that. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. The law. I mean, you know, we have to teach the law. There's no two ways about it, as we'll see today. You have to know what pleases God and what doesn't please Him. Because, you know, if there's no law, there's chaos. You know, if you're free and there was no law, no requirements of no kind, that's just like whenever I was in Germany, and we've been there a couple of times since Cheryl and I got married, but on the Autobahn, there is virtually no law. I mean, you can drive as fast as you want to drive. Now then, can you imagine the chaos on 35 if they made it next week and say, there's no law, you can drive as fast as you want to drive on 35. Do you want to drive on 35? Not me. I'm going to take another road. Because it's not real safe. They got a law out there that says the speed limit is 60 or 65, depending on where you are. And almost nobody drives that speed. Now then, do you know that the other day I was leaving a little town like Louisville, going out 1171, and I went all the way to 35. And every intersection that I went out, I saw four video cameras on every intersection from 35 on this side to 35 on that side, every intersection between there. There's four video cameras recording everything that goes on at every intersection on 1171. Even the one out Highway 377, there's four video cameras videoing everything that goes on out there. Why do we need all these cameras, and why do we need Big Brother watching us so close? Because we're lawbreakers. We run lights. We run, you know, we don't even slow down sometimes. In fact, some people will see they'll be way down the road and the light will turn yellow. Instead of slowing down to stop, what do? Hit the gas. Speed up so I can get there. And so it turns red just about the time you get there. Well, you're doing 70 miles an hour now. It's too late to go screeching through. So you just right on through. Well, guess what? It won't be too long that when you do that, there will be a little thing in the mail that says, at this intersection, at this time, this minute, and this second, you ran the red light, so you need to show up or send us a check for $200 for running a red light. Those will be coming. So when you get one, don't grumble and complain. I warned you in advance. You know, so it's going to happen. So make sure you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Now, it says, listen, I, Paul, tell you this. If you're counting on circumcision to make you right with God, then Christ cannot help you. Now, that's anything. Back in this day, under the Jewish law, the men, they had to be circumcised. If they wasn't, they couldn't be a Jew. I mean, you know, it was just a requirement. So he says, I'm telling you that, you know, you're counting on that to make you right with God, then Christ cannot help you. Verse 3 and 4. I'll say it again. If you're trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, you must obey all of the regulations of the whole law of Moses. Who was ever able to do that before? Nobody. So don't even think about it. If you're free, you don't have to worry about this. For if you are trying to make yourself right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. They told you to stay free, right there you lost it. No, but if you're trying to put something else besides faith and love in this walk with Christ, and when you're trying to put anything else in there, what happens to you? You fall from grace. You know, I used to read that and think, Lord, did I lose my salvation? When I fall from grace, do I lose my salvation? No, I do not lose my salvation. I'm still a child of God. I just fell away from His grace. Well, if I fall away from His grace, where do I fall back to? The law. Oh, that police officer, which is the devil, he loves it when you break the law, doesn't he, Keith?
Yes, he does.
I mean, he says, oh, I make my quota. There's my last one. When I catch that one, my quota is set for this month. I can go home. He loves it. Well, that devil, when he's out there walking around, until you sin, he can't touch you, can he?
That's right.
But when you sin, uh-oh, he said, there's Keith, he just sinned. I have legal right to him now. He just fell from grace, I'll get him. Now then, what's all that noise? I don't know what's causing that. I'm trying not to. I don't know what's happening there, but I'm getting a lot of that. Okay, let's go to verse 5 and 6 after we fell from grace. But let's see what verse 5 and 6 says. But we who live by the Spirit. Now, let me ask you that question. That is many places in God's Word. We who live or walk in the Spirit. What does it mean? You know, I mean, I used to read that, but I had no clue what it meant to walk in the Spirit. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? You know, I used to think, Lord, what does these things mean? But to walk in the Spirit, when you're fed the Word of God, if you fed yourself 3 meals a day this week, you were walking in the flesh, and you were feeding the flesh, right? Is your flesh probably in pretty decent shape this week? Is it pretty strong? Now, what if you didn't feed your flesh anything this last week? Not one bite of food. You might be a little hungry today, right? You might be thinking, well, you better hope you're on a fast. You know, because if you're not, I can assure you, you're hungry. Like this man, that him and his wife came here and they were going to go. I don't know what's happening here, but anyway, in the name of Jesus, Lord, settle this thing down. But anyway, they came and they wanted to go on a fast. Now, he's a normal man. He gets up on Monday morning or whatever day of the week it was, and he says, I'm going to get up and I'm going to fast today. My wife and I are going to fast. But he had the evening meal that evening before at 5 or 6 o'clock, and then he went to bed and slept all night. The next morning he got up, and naturally your flesh is hungry. But he's going to fast 3 days. He said, by noon, I was almost dying. And he said, by the time the 6 o'clock meal come in the evening, I couldn't go no more. One day, he had to start eating. Now, when he came, he said, how do you do this? He said, I listened to one of your tapes where you and Cheryl fasted 18 and a half days. He said, I couldn't make it one day. How did you do that? I said, well, did you ask God to take away your hunger pains? He said, no. I said, well, see, that's the first place you messed up. You ask the Lord to help you. See, when you try to do it on your own, what happens when you try to do things on your own? It don't work. The flesh wants to rise up. It needs something. And it wants food. But now then, if you're feeding your body all week long, it's pretty happy if you have breakfast, you know, and then about noon you have lunch, and then about 5 or 6 o'clock you have something else, and then about 9 o'clock you have another little snack before you go to bed. You know, you're in pretty good shape, right? Your body's getting everything it wants. It's very happy. But what about your spirit man? What if you didn't feed it anything this week? Are you going to be able to walk by the Spirit? No. You're going to have to feed your spirit man equivalently to what you did your flesh man, or more. Now, if you feed your spirit man the Word of God, that's the food, then you'll be able to walk in the Spirit, or live in the Spirit. For we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive everything promised to us who are right with God through faith. Now then, if we live by the Spirit, you have to feed yourself the Word of God on a daily basis. Now, if you miss a day, you need to really double up tomorrow. You know, instead of going in, sitting down, eating a meal. You know, I mean, like yesterday, I don't know how many. I like to eat slow. I'm always the last one to finish because I like to enjoy my food. You know, not anything wrong with that, is there? I like to chew it, taste it, eat it. And I'll look over, and a lot of times the other men that are there, or men or women, I'll be sitting there eating, and man, they've done whooped down a bowl of soup and a sandwich or whatever, or a three-course meal, and I'm still on my first bowl of soup, you know, or my salad. I hadn't even got started yet, but I like to enjoy my food. But I like to taste it, because I do enjoy eating food. But if I don't feed myself the spiritual things of God. If I don't feed that enough, then when I do sit down, I need to put a whole lot of that in me. So I'll study 1 or 2 or 3 hours and then get up this morning and study all morning again. You know, I need that. I really don't know what in the world is going on. Is my battery? Okay, let's hold it just a second. Phil's going to put me another battery in it or something. No, just give, I don't want to use this one. Just give me another battery in that one. Okay. Yeah, it's on. Make sure it's on or low battery. Okay, praise the Lord. We're going to try it again. But I really, when I go somewhere and they hand me a handheld mic to use for 2 or 3 hours, I really don't like that. I'd a whole lot rather use one that I don't have to hold in my hand. But we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive everything promised us who are right with God through faith. Now, how do you get right with God? According to that scripture, how do you get right with God? Through faith. That's the only way you get right with God, through faith. How does your faith come? By feeding your spirit man, walking in the Spirit. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, it makes no difference to God whether we are circumcised or not circumcised. He don't care. The flesh is not what he looked on. Here's what is important. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. Is that what God likes? I mean, you got to love me whether I'm good to you or not, right, girl? If you want God to be happy with you, you got to love me regardless of what I say or do, right? Yes, and if we express our faith in love, is God pleased with us? Yes, He is. What if we don't? Then He's not happy with you. He's not happy with you. Now then we want to go to John 8:32 and then John 8:36. John 8:32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will do what for you? It'll set you free. Now see, how many people that are living like I did in the church all those years that didn't know that I was free? I didn't know enough of God's Word. I didn't know how to walk in faith. I didn't know what it took to walk in faith. I didn't know I had to hide the Word in my heart. I didn't know all these things. And then after I began to learn the truth, it began to set me free. And 25 years ago, or 20-something years ago, I just rounded off 25 years ago. It's probably been close to that, 22 to 25 years ago now. When I asked the Lord that night, Lord, if I was healed when I was saved on the cross, if that's when it really happened, and then I was 11 before I learned that, but I received you as my Savior when I was 11. I said, why did this whole package, which appears to be a package deal, that all this becomes mine when I become a son of God? I said, if that's true, then why in the world have I been sick so many times in my life since I was 11 years old when I accepted you as my Lord and Savior? And he made a statement like this. I heard an audible voice. He said, son, I am a faith God. Now, that's in the Word everywhere, isn't it? I am a faith God, and without faith, it's impossible to please me. For them that come to me must believe that I am, and that I am a rewarder of them who diligently seek me. See, every word is in there for a purpose. Them that diligently seek me. You know what diligence means? It means really getting in there and digging. You know, when you don't diligently seek God, kind of like when I'm working on this building out there, when all of us, I'm sure Yesha feels the same way as Cheryl does. You know, we get out there and work, all of the guys, we work from can till can. We start early in the morning, work till 30 minutes after dark. You know, and then we try to come in. And, you know, the first week I was on that, Cheryl, she says, you don't love me anymore. You don't talk to me anymore. You know? Hey, well, I wasn't spending the time with her that I was when we were in the ministry center together, when I'd walk by and put my arm around her and hug her, say, honey, I love you. See, that she liked that. You know, all girls like that, right? When their husbands come by and tell them how beautiful you are and all that stuff. But now I'm out there on that building, up and down. And if she comes out there, I'm trying to weld or whatever. And when she comes and says, I need to talk to you, I said, well, hurry. I'm in a hurry. I got something to do here. She feels like she's not loved. Now, that's not true. She is still loved, right? It's just I'm not expressing it very well because I'm busy doing something else. And I'm sure Yesha must feel like an outcast too sometimes because me and Dave are out there working on that building. Girls, we want y'all to know we still love you. We still love you, don't we, Dave? That goes for Dave too. Praise the King. But we'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So when you get a hold of God's Word, you'll learn. In John 8:36, so if the Son sets you free, you will indeed be free. Now see, the King, when I asked him how come I'd been sick so many times, he said he's a faith God, and I had never received him as my healer by faith in his Word. So when I called him upon him in faith 20-something years ago and said, Lord, tonight I am receiving you as my healer. Now see, the truth, I had learned it. Now I'm receiving that truth by faith. And when I totally received that by true faith, I didn't get sick anymore. Haven't been sick anymore. Will not be sick anymore. I'm going to walk in obedience to his word. But you know what people tell you when you tell them this? Oh, you know, everybody's got to be sick. How are you going to die if you're not going to be sick? Well, if that's where you want to live and you want to be sick, that's okay. Go ahead. But I don't like being sick. And I don't like pain. You know, so if Jesus told me what to do, I want to do what he said because I want to, since I know he's a faith God. See, that's exactly what I told Philip years ago. When Philip had all them warts and scars, I said, son, there's something I've learned about God. He is a faith God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. I said, he will allow you to keep those warts and scars and take them even to your grave. Here he was, 11-year-old boy, and he'd had them for 8 years. But I said, if we go through his word and I can build your faith, and you can believe what he wrote in this book, I said, I guarantee the King of the universe will take those warts and scars off your body. Well, after a few hours of teaching, I turned to that little 11-year-old boy and said, Philip, do you believe that Jesus I've been telling you about in this book can take them warts and scars off of you? And after 2 or 3 hours, the little boy looked up at me and said, Mr. Scrivener, after what I've heard you say about Jesus, I believe he can do anything. Is that the kind of faith the King's looking for? Obviously, it was sufficient, wasn't it? Because then we prayed, like Kim used that prayer, Matthew 18:19, a prayer of agreement. We prayed and used that very same prayer, and the Lord began to take off Philip's warts and scars. And after a few weeks, all of them were gone. And he's never had one come back all these years. Isn't it wonderful to know a God that does miracles, that answers prayer, that you can touch his hand, but you have to touch him by faith. So if the Son sets you free, you will indeed be free. Don't you love being free? Yes, I don't want to be in bondage. I don't want to live. I don't want to be sick and afflicted. But some people will tell you, I don't believe this, Thurman. I've been sick all my life and I don't believe this. Well, you know, if I tell you, well, you're sick because of sin, most of you will get offended. I don't believe that. You know, I do not sin. The thing about it is, you don't know what sin is. See, Romans 14:23, Paul's talking about eating. And when he gets down to Romans 14:23, he says, but if people have doubts about whether they should eat something or whether they shouldn't eat it, they would be condemned for not eating in faith before God. If you do anything you believe is not right, you are sinning. So anything that's done out of faith is what? It's sin. It's sin. See, there's so many things. Like, this is the thing Dave and I have worked on so diligently out there because he wanted to get healed and stay healed. The interpretation of sin. What is sin? Well, I mean, you know, so I work for a big computer company, and when we get a contract over the other people, we gloat over that. That couldn't possibly be sin. Is it? Yes, it is. Did he think he was sinning? No. No, he had no clue. Why did he not think he was sinning? Because he didn't know the word. But now he's read it. And now then when somebody, some kind of sin or something or some kind of problem befalls somebody else, he don't say, oh, looky there. You know, you got what you deserve. No, he ain't going there. Not at all. Because we know the consequences, don't we, Dave? We've read the word. We've read the word. Like that scripture that he read a while ago, he said, and the Lord killed the firstborn in all Egypt. Somebody says, God, he wouldn't kill, but he does. He gives life and he takes life. And the beginning of the knowledge of God will bring wisdom to you, and that's the beginning of fear. When you understand that God, all God's got to do is say, you know, God could say, Jack, you know, I didn't like what you done last week, and so I'm going to end your life today. What's going to happen? It's over. It's over. I mean, you can't go to no higher authority, can you, Jack? So that's why you're going to try to please him, right? Because you ain't ready to die either. All we want to do is to please God. And, of course, when this mercy endures forever, if he wasn't merciful and it didn't endure forever, there wouldn't be a single one of us alive in this room today. If he hadn't been merciful over and over and over and over and over and over and said, you know, I'm giving you another chance. I'm giving you another chance. I'm giving you another chance. I got a feeling that we would all, it would have been over, wouldn't we, Tom? But see, now we're learning, aren't we? Yes, we are. Praise the Lord. Now then, let's go to Romans 7, and we'll just start in verse 7. Romans 7, 7 through 25. Romans 7. Well then, am I suggesting that the law of God is evil? Of course not. The law is not sinful, but it was the law that showed me my sin. I would never have known that coveting is wrong if the law had not said, do not covet. Now, where do you find out what God likes and don't like? From this law. You read it. If God says, don't lie. If God says, don't take my name in vain. You know, because everybody takes my name in vain will not go unpunished. I mean, so why do so many men that profess to be Christians walk around taking the Lord's name in vain all day long? You see it, right? You know people do this. You know some of them are in church. So if they know this and they've read this, they obviously don't believe this. And so then here's I've seen pastors that even take the Lord's name in vain. I've seen deacons, you know, that do all kinds of crazy things. And I think, you know, there's something wrong with this picture. These men obviously do not know or do not believe that God means what he says. You know, you just can't go there. But then whenever the guy gets to be 45 or 50 years old, he comes down with cancer. What do you do then? What do you do with him when he comes down with cancer? Somebody said, well, let's go pray for him and get him healed. You go over there and pray for him. Never say anything about getting your sins repented of. None of that. Everybody in the church prays for him. Thousands of people's praying for him. And I get these emails all the time that says, you know, there's 10,000 people praying for this person. Pray for him. Hey, you only need, how many does it need to pray? One. That's all you need. In faith after sins repented. Is that right? That's all it takes. It don't take 10,000. Once they get their sin repented of and you build their faith, you find out what their sin is, then all you got to do is just call upon the name of the Lord for that person, and you can get that person set free and you can get your answer when you come to the Lord in faith, right? Sure, that's all it takes. So, am I suggesting the law of God is evil? Of course not. The law is not sinful, but it was the law that showed me my sin. But sin, verse 8, but sin took advantage of this law and it aroused all kinds of forbidden desires within me. If there were no law, sin would not have that power. Now, what does he mean when he says that? Let's say, for instance, if you were a habitual liar and you just loved to tell lies, but there was no law against lying, could you possibly come under conviction for telling a lie? No. Not at all. There's no law against it. So, yeah, it's a lie. It's a big, so what's a big deal, you know? I mean, I'd rather tell you this than tell you the truth. I might get in trouble if I tell you the truth, so I'm going to tell you a lie. You know, but when I find out that God hates that, now then, that the whenever I sin, there's something in me say, hey, you sinned. You know, you've done this. But sin took advantage of this law and aroused all kinds of forbidden desires within me. If there were no law, sin would not have that power. Let's go to the next two verses. I felt fine when I did not understand what the law demanded. Hey, that's pretty good, isn't it? If there was no speed limit out there, and some of you drive like that anyway. You know, some of you are so dead, you can drive 70 or 80 miles an hour out there on the freeway, and your excuse is, well, I'm just going with the flow. But when you get stopped and you get a ticket, then you have no grounds to fuss, right? But do you fuss? Of course. You know, I mean, isn't that normal? So what did you have to do to not get the speeding ticket? Obey the law, sure. It says, but I felt fine when I did not understand what the law demanded, but when I learned the truth, and the truth what set us free, I realized I had broken the law and I was a sinner and I was doomed to die. Because does sin bring forth death? Yeah, if you learn that lying, God doesn't like lying, slowly but surely, your lying will open the door to the demonic world. The demons will begin to come in and begin to cut away your life. Now, how long may it take them to kill you? It depends on how much lying you do. It may take them 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 years to kill you. But if you're really a habitual liar, you might be dead in 5 years. You know, you just don't know. You know, people don't understand this principle. They don't believe what he says when he says, whenever I realized I had broken the law and I was a sinner, I was doomed to die. Now see, God don't tell us when we're going to die. He just says when you're a sinner and you learn this, you're doomed to die. Well, I don't know about you, but I'd kind of like to live a long, healthy life, wouldn't you?
Amen.
I don't want to be sick. So the good law, which was supposed to show me the way of life, instead gave me the death penalty. Isn't that something? This law that God gave was good. It showed me that I was a sinner. And so by me now learning that God hates lying, and I know I'm a habitual liar, and I got to make it a choice at this point. Either I stop lying, or now that I've learned the truth, I'm going to start a process of death. When I learned that God does not like lying, if I continue to live there, I'm going to come up with some kind of a disease that's going to kill me. Just like so many young people today in church, you can see people in church all over the place, young people that are sleeping together, having sex out of wedlock, but nobody ever tells them that's going to bring forth death. And do you know, like Dr. James Dodson said here a while back, I forget what the percentage was, but it was way up there. Of even in the church world, the number of church children that by the time they're 18 years old have had at least one venereal disease. Can you imagine that? We should never have a venereal disease. What do you have to do to keep from ever being afflicted with a venereal disease? No sex out of wedlock. It's real simple. You'll never find a man and a woman that keep themselves clean and get married, and then have sex the rest of their life. Is venereal disease ever found between a man and a woman that kept herself clean and pure? No. It ain't never. Never. You know, isn't that strange? That a man and a woman can be married and live their whole life together, and maybe they live 30 years together, and maybe they're 50 years old, and all of a sudden the man thinks, well, I didn't sow my wild oats, so I got to do a little wild oat sowing, now I got to find me a younger woman. And he goes out and runs around on his wife, and he catches a venereal disease. Isn't that strange? That happens, doesn't it? Sure it does. All the time it happens. And then you have to have surgery or whatever to get rid of that. And then your body ain't never going to be the same. Never. You know, chances are God is not going to restore your body back like it was. You know, you're going to suffer with those things the rest of your life. All because you were doomed to die. Now, if it wasn't for God's grace and mercy to heal you, you would have died. So the good law, which was supposed to show me the way of life, instead it gave me the death penalty. Now then, let's go to Sin took advantage of the law and it fooled me. It took the good law and used it to make me guilty of death. Is that what law does? Sure it does. It's exactly. But still, the law itself is holy and it's right and good. I mean, it's just that almost nobody can do what it says. If it come from God, it's right and it's holy. If God says, I hate lying, then why should we lie? We shouldn't. If God says, I hate divorce, should there ever be a divorce in the church? No. But, you know, we're hard-hearted creatures, aren't we? You know, we just do all kinds of stupid things, but God says, I hate divorce. So a man and a woman that are both Christians that know Jesus, they should be able to work out their situation. You know, if you're a man or a woman and you can't get along with the other one, you know, according to God's rule, under the new covenant, if you leave your spouse and both of you are Christians, you know, you're never to remarry another person under no conditions unless you decide you want to be married, you go back to the one you left. That's God's rule. Do you know that? That's what the Word says. Anybody know that in 1 Corinthians 7? That's what it says. Now then, what if you do divorce somebody? And what if you can't live with them and both of you are Christians? Can you ever legally, can you ever marry again? Sure you can. Are you free? Yeah, you're free. You're free, and you can, if you divorce a spouse and both of you are Christians, you can remarry. But when you do, you break God's rules. Is that right? Then you need to call upon His mercy. Do you know that? How many people do you know that are Christians that have been, that their, one of their mates is still living, that they're remarried? A lot of us, you know. And are we breaking God's rule? Yeah. Now, some of us, our mate was not a Christian, and we divorced them, or they divorced us. And when we did that, then did God still want that to happen? Nope, He didn't. But do we break His rules? Yep. He said not to lie. How many people do you know that's Christians that never told not one single little lie? You know anybody? Nobody, Tom. There ain't nobody. Somewhere along the line, you did something, and most of us hadn't just told one or two little ones. We've told some pretty big ones, haven't we? But was God merciful to forgive us for those? Yes, He was. Now then, if He's merciful enough to forgive us for that, if we're not under the law, can He forgive you if you get a divorce and remarry? Yes, He can. Does He want you to get a divorce and remarry? No, He does not. But you know, there are just some people that just appears they can't live together. You know that? Unfortunately, sin took advantage of the law and fooled me. It took the good law and used it to make me guilty of death. And who knows? You know, if you divorce and remarry three or four times or five times, it may be costing you a little bit of your life every time you do that too. You know that? God might have had your life set apart for 95 years of good health, but because you disobeyed, you only made it to 65 or maybe 45. You know, that's just like the Lord spoke to me. I won't give this man's name, but this man was a great man of God. He done some great things for the kingdom of God. And I was reading about this man one day years ago. And as I read, I'm talking out loud. I said, Lord, what a great and awesome man. I mean, what he did for your kingdom. And the Lord spoke to me audibly. And He said, but I had to take him out prematurely because of his sin. I thought, what was that? It was years later, when I was sitting at a dinner table with another man, and a man was talking about that man and about something his wife had read about that same man and something this man did that cost a lot of people their lives. And when he said that, I thought, that's what the Lord meant. I said, I didn't know that man did that. He said, oh yeah, when he did that, it cost a lot of people their life. That sin, because of that sin, that's what God meant when He told me years before. Yeah, you think when you read what he done, he was a great and awesome man. but in my sight, because of what he did and how he broke my rules, I had to take him out prematurely. In other words, I killed him. Well, we hope so, don't we? We hope so. In other words, again, since God is a faith God, if we've walked in some kind of sin and we're at a point where we're not afflicted yet, although, well, I'll tell you, for one of the things, this lady that I'm, one of these days I'm going to get her out GLC with me, but this lady couldn't go the last time we went, but this lady was already in a wheelchair and she had been sinning with a man after her husband died. And over a few years, she was having sex with this man just once a month. And when I got her to repent, God was so merciful to that lady that day. Obviously, he reset her time, because here she'd been in a wheelchair for a few years, and she'd been weak a couple more years. But after she repented for her sin, and I prayed for that day, God forgave her and restored her, and she got out of the wheelchair and walked off. And today, 5 years later, she's still walking totally in good health. She's about 70 years old now, but in great health. But 5 years ago, she's in a wheelchair and not able to walk at all because of her sin. So God did set her clock. You know, he reset it. He let her fall back. And isn't that wonderful? Now, see, he alone can do that. You know, he knows our heart. He knows everything. And so we want to make sure our heart is right with God, because when we're sinning, that sin is opening the door to this death principle, which is going to kill us eventually. And nobody wants to be taken out with sickness and disease prematurely. I mean, I don't want to be taken out with sickness and disease, period. You know, I want to be translated. I want to be in total health, you know, and just translated out. But still, the law itself is holy and right and good. Now, the next couple of verses. But how can that be? Did the law, which is good, cause my doom? Of course not. Sin used what was good to bring about my condemnation. So we can see how terrible sin really is. It uses God's good. Sin. Now, if there's anything you and I as Christians need to stay far from, what is it? Sin. That's exactly right. In other words, there's not a single one of you in here today. If I were to take and build a platform here and make it 2 foot wide or something, 2.5 foot wide like this aisle is, although anybody could walk through this aisle without touching anybody. I cannot touch you or you. I can walk through without having to brace on anything, right? Nobody would have a problem walking down this little corridor. But let's say if I elevated this thing 500 feet off the ground. Just 500 feet off the ground. Now I say, okay, walk across that. Oh, you ain't going, huh? Now what's the difference? I mean, it's only 500 foot off, but it's 3 feet wide. Anybody can walk down this 3 foot path. But you ain't going, huh?
I'm holding on to you.
Now then, what if I don't only got it 500 feet off the ground, but I got roaring flames, inferno flames out there licking up about 350 feet high where you can feel the heat? Are you going to walk along that path now? No. So see, if y'all are smart enough not to do that, then why are we not smart enough to stay away from sin? Because that's what it's doing. It's making us step off of the path. It's reaching up and grabbing you by the arm and saying, come over here. And when you take that first step, 500 foot, that's a long ways, isn't it? Y'all ought to have seen Dave last week. I think it was last week, or maybe it was the one before, but I think it was last one. We had one truss out there that was had a big, heavy piece of pipe on one side of it. It was about twice as heavy as the rest of them. And so when we picked it up in the center, the truss swung like this. And so I raised it way up and tried to put it down on that side. So now then, Dave is standing on top of a tall ladder where it says, don't stand beyond this 2 steps from the top. He's standing on the top. He's standing holding a beam that's this high with a hand here, and he's trying to hold this beam, this big beam in his hand to pull it over and set it on top of there. He's trying and trying and trying, and he just can't get it done. Finally, we pull it over there, and we set it down, and somebody says, put a chain around that thing. So he got a chain and wrapped around it three or four times, and then I was able to let the other side down right in place where it's supposed to go. But let me tell you, some of you, if I'd have said, crawl up on top of that ladder and just hold on to that little beam and don't even worry about trying to hold this other one, you'd have said, you're crazy, give me a break, I ain't standing on top of this ladder. Is that true? Sure, you ain't going to crawl up and stand on top of that ladder because it says on the instructions, do not stand above this step, which is two steps from the top. And he's already gone way beyond that. Standing out there balancing in the middle of nowhere with a big giant beam over here trying to put it over here. But see, some of y'all are smarter than Dave. Oh, no. He's very smart. He was very safe. He was holding on. But he was really, you know, in a dangerous place. But I've done the same thing. I'm just like him. I've done it. Eldon's done it. Oh, yeah, that's what it was, Eldon. I'll have to say that was diligence. I mean, he was out there pouring his heart out. Because, see, here a while back I said something. We was doing something. And Dave said, is this okay? And I said, yeah, that's fine. And he looked at it and he said, no, that's not good enough. I said, what'd you ask me for then? He said, because if I was building your house, it'd be good enough. But he said, we're building the Lord's house out here, and it ain't good enough. I said, oh, praise God. See, so, I mean, diligence. The boy learns he wants to do everything right for the king, right, Dave? You don't like to be sick either, do you? No, and he don't like for his children to be sick. So, diligence. The law is good. The trouble is not with the law, but with me, because I am sold into slavery with sin as my master. In other words, how can that be? Let me back up again that one more time, those two verses. But how can that be? Did the law, which is good, cause my doom? Of course not. Sin used what was good to bring about my condemnation. So we can see, sin used what was good to bring about my condemnation. Now, was he, Paul, as a Christian, being condemned? Yes, he was. Well, then how can you believe what the next chapter, when we get to it, says there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ? That sounds like it's contradictory, but you need to be careful. I'll show you the difference when we get there. So we can see how terrible sin really is. See, we see how terrible sin is. And if there's anything we ought to run from as Christians, it's sin. We need to be just as far from that stuff. So when I say we ought to stay as far from it, if I build that platform and you're going to walk down that, you don't have no problem walking a 3-foot wide platform if it's only 2 feet off the floor, right? None at all. But if I put it up 20 feet off the ground, you might walk 20 feet. But I thought about when we were up here on top, and there was times whenever I'd be out there, had to do this several times. I'd wrap this leg around a beam, stick it around, twist it around. I guess that's why my ankle's kind of sore. Wrap it around, hanging it behind those beams. And then I would hold on with one hand up here with my hood on, and then I'd swing out like this around where I could see the weld over the weld. And I'm 15, 20 feet above the ground. Of course, if you're 15 or 20 foot and something happened and you slipped, you know, 15 or 20 foot of concrete, it's kind of hard when you hit it at that altitude. So you really want to make sure you're hung on good. So the law is good then. The trouble is not with the law, but with me. So where is the problem? With us. Because I am sold into slavery with sin as my master. Now, we do not want to let sin be our master. And it will have you. Just think, back in the days of Cain and Abel, when the Lord came to Cain, he said, sin is crouching at your door. It will have you. What?
Can you read one? Start with the sentence, the fourth sentence down, so we can see how terrible.
So we can see how terrible sin really is. It uses God's good commandments for its own evil purposes. Oh, sure he does, yeah. That's when he says, oh, God told you not to lie, Tom. You lied this week, so I'm going to get you. See, he knows that, doesn't he?
He does.
Yes, he does. So He knows this law better than any of us ever will know it, right?
But he only uses half
of it. Oh, yeah.
He only tells half
the truth. Sure. Oh, that naturally. That's the enemy. That's why we have to talk about this and look at it and read it over and over and over, right? We want to get it. So the law is good then. The trouble is not with the law, but with me. Because I am sold into slavery with sin as my master. Okay, now Dave, 15 and 16. I don't understand myself at all. How many of you have ever asked that question about yourself? I don't understand me at all. For I really want to do what is right. I don't do it. Instead, I do the very thing I hate. I mean, I want to walk in love. Oh, I want to walk in love. But somebody said something and I got everywhere but love. I know that I'm the only one in this room that's ever done that. Deborah's holding her hand up. She's we've all done that, haven't we, Deborah? And we've done it several times. That's what's so bad. I don't understand myself at all, for I really want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do the very thing I hate. I know perfectly well that what I am doing is wrong, and my bad conscience shows that I agree that the law is good. Now, I know the law is good, and I know what I'm doing is wrong, but I do it anyway. That's sad, isn't it? How many people have told me, I know it's wrong to steal, but I just had to have that? You know, whatever it was. You know, just like I used to tell the guys at work. I said, guys, the company provides you with a soda fountain upstairs so you can go up and have a glass of soda anytime you want it, and it's free. But these cans of drink go on the airplanes. Those belong to the airline. They don't even belong to us. We're held accountable. So if you go home in the afternoon and walk by one of those carriers and reach in and get a couple of cans of Coke or Dr. Pepper and put it in your coat pocket and you walk out that door, you have become a thief. Thurman, you're going overboard. They owe that to me. See, that's the way we look at things, isn't it? How much money do you think takes place we lose in America through people that think that your company owes them these things? I'd say it's in the billions. It's in the billions, you know. I mean, it depends on where you work. Probably out at Nortel. And when you used to work out there, Dave, with all the computers and things people had, probably people carried computers home with them, you know. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, they do everything thinking, hey, this is okay. The company owes me this. But no, you saw something you thought you had to have. Now, if you had to have that computer, and if you prayed and you walked on obedience to God's word, would God give you a computer somewhere? Yes. Sure He will. I mean, if you really had to have it, somebody walk up to you with a computer and say, hey, I just bought this, and I bought two of them, and I don't need the other one, so here, let me give you one. And that's the way God would do it. He would really take care of you. It's just like that day I said, Lord, I went over to CAM to pick up an order. I said, Lord, I need a beautiful laptop computer to be used for the ministry back here so we can record video. And so I drove around the corner, and there's a little computer store right around the corner. I'm right over here. I'll just pull in there. I pulled in there. I said, you wouldn't happen to have a good laptop computer, a used one, fairly new, at a great price. He said, man, do we ever. I said, just come in. We're setting it up right now. He brought it up there, and I said, well, what would you have to have for that? It was a $1,000 computer. He said, oh, I'd take $500 for it. Man, I bought that thing for $500, and Phil has used that thing ever since, him and Dave. We record everything, video, audio, and everything else for the whole ministry on that thing. Everything. He gave it to me at a great price. Now, could he have given it to me just as easy? Sure, he could, but he knew I had the money to pay for it. And so he charged us $500 for it. I wasn't about to go steal one. You know, just like the other day, I'm checking out a Home Depot, and I've checked my stuff out, and I'm thinking, okay, I should have about $300 worth of stuff. When I check out, I'm about $100 short. I thought, what happened? I push a cart up a little ways, and I stop, and I get my list out, and I'm going down through there, and I'm looking. I said, ma'am, you forgot this item here. It's $92.50. She said, no, I scanned it. I said, it didn't read it. She said, I scanned everything in that basket. I said, well, this one's not on the list. She comes over and looks, and she says, you know, you're absolutely right. She said, you know, you're an honest man. Hey, if I go out of that store knowing I just stole $92.50 worth of stuff. You think God's going to bless me? How would you like for Him to cut off your prayer life? Hey, I can't handle that. I got to have that. Men like Jack come in and say, my back's been hurting me for months. Would you pray for me? And I say, yeah. And I pray. And God said, I ain't hearing that prayer. You're going to be sick just as long as from now on. So Jack's still sick. You know, you wouldn't like that, right, Jack? You like it a whole lot better to be healed, right? Say, and I like it better for him to be healed, too. It's not worth losing your anointing for, even for $1 million, right, Keith?
That's right.
Not even for $1 million. You know, you want to walk totally in obedience to God's word. So, it says then, when I don't understand myself at all, for I really want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do the very things I hate. I know perfectly well that what I am doing is wrong, and my bad conscience shows that I agree that the law is good. Well, let's go to the next verses. But I can't help myself. But I can't help myself. Now, when you look at this, you think, well, then, if Paul couldn't help himself, what makes me think I have a chance? I mean, you know, if you don't read all of the Scripture, you can stop right here and you can be defeated, right, Tom?
Double-minded,
that's right. But I can't help myself because it is sin inside me that makes me do these evil things. So, you know, how many times have you heard people say, oh, well, it's just the devil in me that makes me do that? You ever heard that?
Yeah.
Christians, you said that yourself maybe, huh? Hey, the devil in us, we have power over him. We've not figured that out yet. Yes, sir. Oh, you're just waving. Okay, praise the King. I know that I am rotten through and through. At least Paul was truthful, didn't he? He knows that he's rotten through and through so far as my old sinful nature is concerned. No matter which way I turn, I can't make myself do right. I want to, but I can't. Let's go on to the next couple. When I want to do good, I don't. And when I try not to do wrong, I do it anyway. Now, this is Paul. What chance do you think you have? But if I'm doing what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing it. The sin within me is doing it. If Paul's having this kind of a day, why don't we just throw in the towel? That's what it sounds like, doesn't it? I'm glad the Scripture don't end right here, aren't you? Wow, next couple of verses. It seems to be a fact of life that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. You ever had a day like that? Oh, yeah, everybody has. I love God's law with all my heart. Do you love His law with all your heart? Have you ever read His law? Have you ever studied His law? You know what He really likes? When's the last time you read the Ten Commandments? If you don't have those memorized, you need to read them regularly. That'll give you a good overview of what His law is. So, okay, I love God's law with all my heart. Somebody said, well, I don't want to read it because then I might come under condemnation if I want to do something wrong. And that's what we do, you know that? Oh, I was okay until the law came in. It was okay to lie to my girlfriends until I found out God said don't lie. Now I can't do this no more because I'm under condemnation. So, I've had people literally tell me that in church. Literally. Okay, let's go down to the next couple of verses. But there is another law at work within me that is at war with my mind. This law wins the fight and makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. And then he tells the truth here. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Now that's us, isn't it? What a miserable person we are. Now listen to his statement. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin? Now the answer is in the next verse. You read this whole chapter and don't get this verse. You've missed the whole thing. Here's your answer. Thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. But who's going to set you free to this, from this law? Jesus Christ. Now then, when you think about who's going to set you free, now let's go back to Romans 6:16, and let's see what he says there, Romans 6:16. Don't you realize that whatever you choose to obey becomes your master? Now then it comes down, once you get Jesus living in you, you have a choice, right? You don't have to serve that sinful nature anymore, do you? You got the King of Kings living in there now, right, girl? Absolutely. Don't you realize that whatever you choose to obey, whatever you choose to obey becomes your master? You can, as a Christian, choose sin. You can choose to lie. You can choose to steal. You can choose to cheat. You can choose to do all those things and break all of God's law. You can choose to take His name in vain. Which leads to what? Now, you want to die early? If you want to die early, just start doing those things. Or you can choose to obey God and receive His approval. So if you choose to obey righteousness, you know, you don't have to sin. In other words, that plan that we just read about there in Romans, all of those things are in there, and without Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you have no power to overcome this law of sin in you. I mean, you'll just, you may be a drunk, you may be a drug addict. You know, you may be, who knows what you, you may be a man or a woman that sleeps around with everybody you can. I mean, that just may be the way you live. You know, there's a lot of them out there that do that. But as a born again, spirit-filled Christian that's renewing your mind with the Word, you don't have to go there no more. I mean, anytime you're tempted with sin, you have the power to say yes or no. Right? And what should we choose every time to sin? No. That's right, Lisa. Every time that devil said, oh, but Lisa, you know, you could do a little real quick job on this house here and make it look like you did, and you don't have to do near as good a job. You can do it in an hour instead of five.
He's not my boss.
Oh, he's not your boss anymore, huh? But the king's not anymore, huh? But you say, okay, devil, if that's where you're going to be, I'm going to move everything and vacuum under everything in this house. I'm going to really do a good job on this one. And the devil says, whoa, I better leave her alone. She does a better job when I tempt her. But see, that's a choice we have to make every day, isn't it? We can shortcut things or we can do things right. And it doesn't matter what walk of life you're in. You have that choice because of the power of God. Now, if you do things right, if you choose wrong, it's going to bring forth an early death. If you choose right, you're going to receive God's approval, and it's going to bring forth righteousness and eternal life. Is that where we should want to live? Absolutely. Now, we're going to have communion today. I just looked up and it's 4 o'clock, and that's the end of that chapter. I was just fixing to start on another one, but since it's 4 o'clock. Yes? Exactly what do you mean? Righteousness is imputed to us by what Jesus did on the cross. But it's there. But to walk in that, you still have to make a choice every day. He does impute righteousness to you, but for that righteousness to give you the privilege to live a long, healthy life, you have to make the right decisions every day of your life. In other words, a man that's a Christian cannot live as a businessman in the world and tell dirty jokes, watch pornography, go out and eat with these buddies and listen to their dirty jokes and tell their dirty jokes with them and use profanity just like they do to be one of them, and then come to church on Sunday and be Mr. Goody Goody. You know, that ain't going to work. It's going to cost you dearly to live in the world. If a man does that, you're going to live in the world, you know, but it's going to cost you dearly to do that. Right.
I understand that part. But then when I try to perform the law.
But you're not under the law. This is the part we have to get over.
Right. I'm not the penalty of the law is already extracted to Christ.
Right.
So I'm not, salvation is no longer a question.
No. So that's what I'm saying. Thank you. Salvation is no longer a question. If you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, now He expects you to walk righteous and holy in His sight. And if you do, then it'll bring forth a good, healthy, long life. If it don't, it'll bring forth a short one. You'll still be a son of God, and when you die, you will get to go to heaven, but there won't be any rewards. And who would want to, and who in the world would want to go to heaven with no rewards? You know, because the King has told us over and over and over, the old man's supposed to die now, the new man's supposed to live, and we're supposed to use his example to walk in. So, in other words, the thing you and I need to realize as sons of God, everywhere we walk, everything we do should be just exactly like Jesus would have done it himself. And when we do that, hey, great things happen when we pray. You can be a great example out there in the business world to people. You know, it's totally a new way of looking at things. But it all depends on, do I want to obey and see him answer my prayer and have a reward when I get home? Or do I want to go along with the guys and see God not answer my prayer at all, and when I get home, have no rewards? Well, I think that's obvious which way I want that. I want to be blessed on earth, but he'll bless us here too. You know, I mean, I consider, just like all these men that came out and helped us this week at the Ministry Center, just like you loaning me that piece of equipment, Jack, that was all a blessing from God. You know, I mean, I know that, you know, and it saved the ministry a lot of money, you know, because of the things that, but we love him, we serve him, we worship him, and he sends men and women to do things. And of course, some men and women can't come do things, but they give money, you know, and so that's a blessing too, you know. So it's, you know, God, some men can't crawl around on them beams like we crawl around, you know, but they can give their money to help buy those beams, you know, and that's, God knows everybody's heart. And so when he looks on your heart, he'll bless you accordingly. And I'm so grateful, because I know some men can't get out there and do that. You know, some of them just can't. I have been blessed with a good, healthy body that even at my age, that can walk across them beams and crawl across them. And, you know, Lisa, you would be amazed if you saw all of the guys walking down them beams up there, this little bitty round 3-inch pipe, walking 15 feet off the floor. You know, it's amazing what you see men do. Of course, Dave, he's like a cat. You know, I mean, I'm standing on the back of this truck, and he's on the machine out there raising Monty up to a great big old 30-foot beam there. And when he gets up, gets him fairly well in place, I look, and he's not on the machine, and I look, and I hear something, and he's got a ladder, and he already come running up a 10-foot ladder, jumped up on top of the ladder, jumped up on top of the truck, and he's right there and jumped up on her to go get the other end of the beam. I think, wow. How many men do I know that couldn't do that? Man, he's just like a cat, you know, fast as lightning, you know, he's out there. That's what we're saying. Thank you, Lord. See, we want to stay like that, though. I'm telling you, Dave has thanked the Lord so many times for his healing. He said a few years ago, there was no way I could have been outside working like this. There is no way I could have done what I've done. But now he can. Yeah, he could bounce around and jump around because of God's mercy and grace, and him learning how to receive by faith what already belonged to him. So the truth set this man free. He is really free. But now he's got to stay free. He's got to continue to walk in that love, and that love walk with him, with himself and his wife and all of the people in God's kingdom. He has to do that to stay free. You don't want to lose your freedom and fall back under bondage. You want to walk holy before God. And because of this, the Lord sent his body to pay that price for us. Oh, what a God. Just think, the Father poured out the wrath that you and me deserve upon his own Son so we could be free. I can talk about that, but I really can't understand that in its fullness. But that's another thing I can't comprehend about God and his love for me. That when I was a wicked sinner, he sent his Son to pay for me. And he did it thousands of years in advance for all of us. But because of that, he bore our sickness. And by his stripes, we are healed. We receive that by faith today, Father. We thank you. We repent of every sin, Lord. Every sin. And Lord, we want to walk holy this week. We realize that you have come to set us free. And the truth, which is your word, has set us free. And we thank you for setting us free now, Father. In the name of Jesus, amen. And we ate the bread. Next month, we'll take that under our new roof. The most powerful thing in the universe, the blood of the Lamb. The blood that was poured out for all. Because of this, what the King did, us as old wicked sinners, I mean wicked sinners. When I think about that, I think of some people I know and how they've lived, and they've been a drug addict and a murderer, and to me that looks terrible. And then I look at my life and I've never done any of those things, and yet the Lord says, my life, the best I can do is still as filthy rags in His presence. Wow. That's awful, isn't it? That the best I can do is filthy rags. But this blood poured out on the cross cleaned up this sinner and that one that's over there, the wicked guy that's killed and murdered and raped and doing everything. The blood washed every one of us clean and pure and made us spotless. I can't grasp that. But it's what He did, isn't it? And because of this blood, you and I can be clean and pure and holy. Lord, we repent of every sin, known and unknown. Help us this week to walk with no sin. We don't want to sin under no conditions. We want our prayers answered. We want to see Your glory. And Lord, increase our anointing as we study Your word. And thank You, Lord, for paying this price that only You could have paid. We give You all the praise and glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. We drank the juice. Thank You, Lord. Thank You. For those of you that might be new, all the media back there is free. We don't charge for anything. And we're going to have a time of prayer. And anybody that needs to come forward for prayer, after we close with a word of prayer, I'll ask you to get up and come forward and come up here. And we'll all be here to pray for you. Eldon will be here with me, and maybe Nancy will be with him. I don't know, but Cheryl will be here with me. And I don't know who else will be here. Dave, maybe will be here, but Rosemary. But all of us, and we might know also, y'all continue to keep Sharon in your prayers. She should be home Thursday night, if everything goes according to plan. You know, that 2 week, I really believe that it was God's will for us to go to Israel, which we were supposed to win. Our trip was paid for. That's the first time I've ever had a free trip paid for both Cheryl and I, $7,000, and then something happened that we didn't get to go. But I really believe that was God's will, because God spoke to Al and told him, said, when Thurman comes over, he said, you're not to have him work, you're just to show him my country. And I thought, how wonderful that's going to be. I was so looking forward to that. But due to circumstances beyond my control, we were not able to go. There's no way we could have went and taken 2 weeks out of our life and then got the building. There's just no way. So we had to cancel that trip. But anyway, God will take us some other time, some other day, somewhere, someday down the line. He'll provide us again with another one of those all-expense-paid-for trips. It's just not often you get a $7,000 trip paid for that you have to cancel the last few days just before you leave. But you know, that's just the way life is. But Father, in the name of Jesus, we're so grateful for all the things You do. Lord, I know that when we get on our new building, I know You're going to do great and mighty things beyond my wildest dreams. Lord, I want You to be glorified in that new building. I want Your word to be proclaimed. I want healing schools to be taught out there. I know You want them to be taught so You can heal Your people, deliver Your people, set Your people free. And You can save the lost, heal the sick, and deliver those that are in bondage. And Father, I ask You to continue with Your anointing with all of us. Teach all of us how to walk closer with You so all of us can see You do great and mighty and wonderful things. We're so grateful that we get to serve a God that does all these wonderful things for His people and that we get to pray for them. Now, Father, as we pray for the people, the ones that do come up for prayer, I ask You to meet every need, touch every heart, and do great and mighty things. So, Lord, thank You for being here with us today. And we're so grateful that You're our King. Lord, watch over us this week as we go. Prepare us for next Saturday for the healing school. And Lord, for all of us that will work on your building this week, Lord, we ask you to bless us and keep us healthy and safe. And we ask you to bless all the food that people will send to help out. And Lord, just everything. Bless everybody involved. And we give you all the praise and glory and honor. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.